the first of the new season, the 2024-25 season. Really great to have you all here. Today we're going to talk about Chelsea versus Manchester City. The final score was 2-0. So we're back for this season. We're going to be covering every game, talking about the game, getting your views, trying to get people, views from people at the stadium as well, which is going to be good. We're going to have that later. Of course, I'm back with my usual co-host, Chelsea Rambles. Welcome, Rambles. You can unmute yourself. Oh, he's not. Something's happened. Okay, hold on a minute. We're back, and Chelsea have lost to Manchester City 2-0. I thought it was a pretty good performance. I thought we played pretty well. I thought we had a few chances. And we had a few penalties that weren't given. I think people are going to have disagreements on this. But we'll see what happens. I'm trying to invite Rambles to speak, my normal co-host, but we're having a few problems. Ah, Rambles, you're here. Welcome.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Yeah, not happy about the result, but generally okay. It's good to have you back. It's good to be back. I'm excited about doing this show again. So I'll just go through the game. The lineup he started with Sanchez in goal, Cucurella left back, Levi Colwill and Wesley Fofana at centre back, Gusto right back, and then the midfield three of Romeo Lavia, Enzo Fernandez, and Moises Caicedo, with the front three of Cole Palmer, Nicholas Jackson, and Christopher Nkunku. Chelsea started, kind of mildly. Didn't start badly. Looked that we were putting a few good passes together. And then, of course, Manchester City get one chance and they scored with Erling Haaland, as always, seems to score in the first game of the season, third year in a row that he scored in the first game of the season. And we were 1-0 down after 17 minutes. We had a few bad minutes after that where we kind of looked a bit like our head's gone, but we slowly got back into the game. Romeo Lavia in particular, I thought, was excellent in midfield. We had a lot of possession. We had some chances. Nicholas Jackson, put the ball in the back of the net, but was offside and probably didn't need to be offside. Again, that's a bit of a frustration because if he just timed his run better, we probably would have equalised. But 1-0 down at the interval. Second half, we had some good chances. We got in their box. I think we had at least one penalty not given by Anthony Taylor, making himself the star of the show again in the Chelsea game. Pedro Neto came on and we nearly scored almost immediately. He looked a threat running from wide. Got the ball in, we had another chance. We were getting in their box. We had a lot of touches in their box. And I saw a statistic that we had more touches in their box than any teams had in the Premier League for about 18 or 19 games. Man City don't normally let that many chances go in their box. We were a bit unlucky not to get an equaliser, I thought. Lomia Lavia, again, second half was excellent. He was winning the ball. He was positionally was good. His passing was excellent. We took him off. Enzo took him off. I don't think that was the right decision, honestly. Anyway, he took him off. We kept on having a few chances, but, we left ourselves a bit more open because we were going for the second goal. We were going for the equaliser, sorry. And Man City got their second goal. Kind of on a break almost, and of course it was Mateo Kovacic, ex-Chelsea player, who got the equaliser. The second goal from Manchester City. And that was it, that was game over after that. 2-0 defeat. Personally, I thought we played pretty well for a lot of that game and we had enough chances to get an equaliser. The second goal really came because we were going for it a bit and left ourselves a bit more open because we were going for an equaliser. But you know, and we should have had a penalty. It's Manchester City, they're the best team in the world. It wasn't going to be an easy game today. Even if we played like our best game ever, we still could have lost. I thought that the centre backs played pretty well. They made them, I think for the second goal, maybe there was a bit of a mistake, but I think we were going for it a bit. Again, so we kind of let them in a bit. But I did see a lot of things to be positive about, and we're definitely improved from the last time we played Manchester City a couple of weeks ago. There weren't so many mistakes at the back. We didn't give them that many good chances. I think they had, what, three or four good chances in the game, and they scored two of them. Right, that's the difference between them and us right now, is that we don't have that clinical finisher, which is why everyone's saying we need Victor Osimhen. And I think if he'd been in the team today, we might have got an equaliser. But who knows? So that was the game. It's not nice to start with a defeat, but it's Manchester City. We'll have a lot easier games this season. There's 37 games to go. 36 of them aren't against Manchester City. And I'm sure we'll be fine. Cole Palmer didn't have his best game. He's not fully match fit. He hasn't really had a pre-season, so I don't blame him for that. Nkunku was kind of played out of position. Neto looked promising, I thought. And I thought Lavia was excellent. So that's the game. Rambles, what were your just basic thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I didn't think we played that badly. I think we let ourselves down in the final third. We had a few good openings, opportunities, and we just wasted them. I think the big difference today, we saw the difference between a Man City team where Pep's been there 8 years and Enzo's been there 2 months. Even when Man City have three or four good players missing, everyone knows the system so well, so they don't really look any weaker. And I think we desperately need to bring in that experienced number nine, either Osimhen, Ivan Toney, or Gyökeres. We desperately need one of those three, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need that clinical finisher up top. I think that, I mean, that Jackson being offside, I think a more experienced finisher maybe doesn't get offside there and scores, for example.
I think so. I think an Osimhen stays on side and, the game's 1-1.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was a really good move. Yeah, we had a lot of really good moves. So there was one in the second half where I think Enzo crossed it in, and it kind of flashed across the box, and we just didn't get a foot on it. I think Nita had that chance, and it was stopped. So there were a few of those chances. I don't know why people are saying we didn't create anything. We did.
And I also think bringing in a striker will help Jackson develop, because at the moment I think he knows pretty much he's going to be starting most games because he's only got Marquis behind him. But if we were to bring in Osimhen or a Toney or someone else, he would have to raise his game.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and also it takes the pressure off him as well to have to be like the man. He's still only 22. It's only his second season in the Premier League. Got 17 goals last season. I think he's a really promising player, but you need, like, against these top teams, you've got to take every chance you get. You can't miss chances or make silly offside runs like he did. You've got to be clinical. And that's where you need someone like a Osimhen or a Toney, who would probably score that and be onside, right? And then it's 1-1, and it's a different game, completely different game, because Man City then have to come out again rather than just sitting back, because we had to go for it in the second half. So we had to be a bit more attacking. We have to leave ourselves open, and that's where the second goal really came from. I saw enough. Well, I saw enough today. We created enough to get a draw in that game, and there was Anthony Taylor, man. I've had enough of Anthony Taylor.
Yeah, it's just a nightmare.
Kovacic's hand was in a completely unnatural position, right? That's not a natural body position. And that should have been a penalty for me. Like, you know, and it was one in the first half, which probably could have been a penalty as well. So, you know, Taylor wasn't going to give us a penalty, even if someone had been, like, had their leg broken in the box by a City player. Like, he just wasn't going to give us anything. Same old Anthony Taylor. Probably denied us a point. And a point would have been a fair result. Man City weren't, like, brilliant today. You know, we just weren't clinical enough. You know, and they've got a bit more experience than us. Again, like you said, they've been playing this system for 9 years. You know, they're a well-oiled machine and they're more experienced than us. And that told today. I mean, I don't think it's a disgrace to lose to Manchester City. They're the best team in the world, up with Real Madrid. You know, and we're not competing for the title this season. That's not the plan. You know, we're not expected to be competing with them this season, right? So yeah, I mean, it's disappointing to lose. I don't like losing, you know, but you know, that's the other type of opposition with Arsenal we'll play this season. So, you know, and we've got a relatively easy game on Thursday, which will be good for confidence. Yeah. So anyway, we've got Louis here. Louis's been at the game. I don't think Louis's got a different opinion than us of the game, but so I'm going to hear what he's got to say. So, Louis.
Hello.
Evening, Louis. Hope you're well, mate.
I'm all right. I mean, I think in the ground, yes, I have a different opinion, but I've had a different opinion than you are. I'm not a fan of tippy-tappy football. I never have been. I think it just completely defeats the purpose a lot of the time. And I thought that told today. You know, I appreciate you guys saying we did not get a draw. Aside from Jackson's chance, there wasn't really a clean-cut chance. We weren't really... There was, apart from a couple of occasions where we, you know, we go up the pitch and we had a little bit of impetus, we just was too busy needing to make an extra pass to get to a certain position rather than catching a team out on the break in transition, which we were so good at last year. You know, even if we didn't have the final ball in us sometimes, we were up the pitch, we were in people's faces, and that's when we really actually managed to get a lot from game. It's the first game of the season. I'm not going to sit here and lose my rag and then basically just sit here and be, it's pointless, it's this, it's that. That's completely redundant and irrelevant. And when people are sort of, you know, I've already seen people going for Enzo Maresca, like, we're going to be with this coach, as I said in the pod, in the previous band, you know, he's going to be with us for at least 2 years, realistically. You know, there is no look at a review for the end of the season, there's no this and no that. So we have to be in this for the long haul. Am I happy with how we conducted ourselves and how we played the football? No. Is it going to improve? Probably. I don't know. I don't think any of us do. So, you know, I'm very much in a position of just as long as there's improvement, and like you said, it's, you know, it's not the end of the world to lose to Manchester City. It's Manchester City, but this was a Manchester City side that didn't even really put their best foot forward. You know, there was no Rodri on the pitch. You know, they didn't have a lot of their starting players with significant quality on the pitch. I look at that Chelsea side, that is supposedly a Chelsea side which is going to be our starting 11. Robert Sanchez in goal. I don't know what they saw. I don't know what this Ben Roberts goalkeeper coach has on the sporting directors, if he's got their sex tape for their moods, because someone turning around and saying this guy is good with his feet, clearly didn't watch him play football last season, and clearly didn't watch him at Brighton when he was dropped by De Zerbi to third choice goalkeeper. We both went back in the country. He's also not good enough with his hands. And the fact is, we can talk about Philip Jorgensen. He's a player who's probably going to come through and probably do stuff. Great, fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But I have not seen enough of him as a Villarreal player to comment on his quality. So now I'm looking at what we have and what I know and what I understand, and I'm not filled with excitement. There's nothing that makes me look at this team right now where I can really feel those impetus, because if we look at how we play today, where it's those extra passes, I think the easiest comparison to make would be Sarri, right? Hazard was our star player, Cole Palmer's our player. Hazard was left to do what he basically wanted in the Sarri system, and he did it and he succeeded. And people could say the system was maybe some of the aid in that process.
Yeah.
Realistically, we don't even know. I don't know that, and I don't think any of us can comment on that. we can see, and we're ready for that, and we saw at the back end of the Inter Milan game, was that Cole Palmer, our player of the season, one of the best breakthrough talents last year, one of the best players in the league last year, being stifled by being kept up wide, not being allowed to come inside because of this need to have the fullback invert into the field, who, by the way, as a fullback in Malo Gusto, and saw it dive down on several occasions, is so much better than in forward. The logic behind it baffles me. But look, you know, as I said right at the top, it's one game. I'm just looking at that at face value and going, lads, there's something there that needs to be adapted. And from what I hear about Enzo Maresca and from Leicester fans, and what we read about that wingers at Parma, this guy does not change. This guy will keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. He won't tweak it, the players that he has, because there's a need, apparently, to keep the system, etc., etc. It is something I'm not excited for, and I'm very pessimistic for the season. And much like the Inter Milan game, I was bored inside 15 minutes. I've only woken up on the 17th minute mark because Manchester City scored. I am already bored of watching Chelsea.
All right. Well, that's some fair comments, Louis. I certainly agree on Sanchez. He should not be our number one. I don't rate him. I don't think he should be our number one. I think that second goal, I think he should save it, personally.
Sanchez is nowhere near good enough for me.
Score, yeah. No, it's amazing. There are certain pitfalls almost to prioritise having a goalkeeper who's good with his feet rather than their hand.
Well,
it's amazing.
There as well. I mean, to be fair, well, there's a lot of these complaints are complaints that the City fans have in Pep's first season. But anyway, the thing about, it's easy to make the comparison with Sarri because they both play a possession style of football. But, like, Maresca is different. You know, he does tweak things. He's more like Pep than Sarri because he changes things tactically. One of his players from last season said, like, he would tweak things, he would always be looking to improve things, he would never stick rigidly to the same tactics. Like, I think, obviously, he plays a certain philosophy of football, which is a possession-based style of football. That won't change. And our fans aren't used to it. Our fans seem to want high-intensity, high-energy, quick-paced football all the time. Like, and don't like passing football. I mean, like, the only thing, I'm not necessarily a fan of this kind of football. It's not my preferred style of football at all. And I've said that many times. This style of football has won the last six of the last seven Premier Leagues, I think, or something like that.
I completely understand that, but that's because they built it. And I appreciate that, but that was Pep Guardiola, and this is Enzo Maresca, who had one season at Leicester City, and by the way, nearly stifled that. You know, Pep Guardiola had a proven track record, and we're getting somebody based on the fact that he's a disciple. And the fact is, City had the infrastructure and had everything in place. We're trying to do everything at once. Maybe this might be the first season we actually see the infrastructure, and then that might be ripped apart because, look, these four directors have four windows. And those four windows, have they improved the side? No. Is there significant quality in seeing that side? No.
I just cannot agree with that because the last 31 games of last season in the Premier League, we were the fourth best team. Like, that's just a fact. Right? And we only lost two of our last 14 home games. Like, you know, we've only lost three Premier League games this calendar year. Like, so we're not. This is why I don't understand the negativity around the season, because we had a decent season last season. Like, it was a building season. It wasn't a, you know, we're challenging for the title season, or even we're challenging for the top four season. It was a building season. This season is hopefully where we could come from that. So, this is just a little bugbear of mine I've had for a while. People being negative.
Oh, you know, I absolutely understand that, and I agree. This is definitely a season where we've got to kick on, but I have very little confidence that that's something we're going to do. I feel like, you know, we brought in Pochettino he came in, obviously he was going to be a quite stabiliser. He just about did it, but then the players that he used and the system he cultivated are completely contrasting to what we have now. There's only two key players that really made that system tick, did not play, and are being sold. The midfield today I looked at and I thought, there's potential in it, but I don't really see what Enzo Fernandez is bringing to the side. There's a couple of passes here and there, but there's nothing which really unlocked the defence. Moises Caicedo, we didn't see sort of the best of him without Enzo Fernandez last season, and I think that's rather telling. Brian Olavi looked pretty good, I will say that. I think the best thing when I say it was pretty good is I didn't notice any mistakes, and as a defensive midfielder, he kept it simple. I like that the most, and that was the best thing about it. And it's a situation where, you know, we're dealing with certain things which could always be done better, but it's constant differences which just constantly, there's nothing stable about Chelsea. And I know that's what you could say about Chelsea all the time, but the more and more I look at it, the more I listen, well, I just don't have any confidence that these guys are going to get it right, because the track record we've seen over the past 18 months suggests that they won't. And I'm going to be naturally pessimistic most of the season until I see something which tells me different. And that's, you know me, Scott, you know, I just like to see differences straight off the bat and like to see things that are built and clear. And, you know, we've only had one game. You know, that's the big thing here. You know, let's have this conversation November, December and see where we're at. But right now I'm just very unimpressed by what I've seen in the pre-season and what I've seen in this fixture. Like I said, everything is Manchester stuff, but hey, listen, I'll shut up now because I'm just bringing everyone's mood down, and realistically I need you to bring it up, mate. That's what you do, so I'll let you guys crack on because I've got to pop in and see Gary for his leading drink before we go stateside.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Lou.
Okay, guys.
Take care.
Have
a good one.
Cheers.
Thanks,
guys. Take care.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah, and it's like there is this thing of like Chelsea fans seem to not want us to play pep ball. They don't seem to like it, right? It's like this kind of, because it's slow and there's lots of build-up play, lots of possession, lots of passing, you know, like passing it back and passing it out from the back. And Chelsea fans don't really seem to like that. Like, I mean, I guess we're used to kind of Conte or Mourinho, whatever, or like high octane passing, attacking, high energy, you know, playing with pace, playing on the counter. That's what Chelsea fans are used to, right? And I get it. I mean, I'm one of those fans. I get it. Like, I guess my view is that we've just got to kind of, this is the way we're going. We've got to kind of give it time and back it. Like, what do you feel about this, Ramble? What is kind of your preferred style of play?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm actually open to how Enzo wants to play. And I think long term, we will actually be okay, because I do think we've got a good crop of players.
Yeah.
I suppose ideally, I've always loved the way, might be controversial, the way Jurgen Klopp played at Liverpool, you know, like the rock and roll.
Yes. Yes.
Heavy metal football, you know, on the front foot, all guns blazing.
Yeah, that's my kind of football. I always felt that Klopp was suited to Chelsea because of that. That kind of football is what Chelsea fans like, right, and can get on board with. Right, and unfortunately, there's not another Jurgen Klopp. but that would have been my preference if we were going for the style of football that we would go for, 100%. Yeah.
But I do believe in the crop of players we've got, and I think as the season goes on and the players get used to the system, I think we can kick on and have a good season.
Yeah, I think we've got better with each performance. Like, we played better today. I mean, we played Man City a couple of weeks ago. We were awful, really. We were awful at the back. We were awful. We gave away the ball at the back. The centre-backs just lost possession all the time. We just gave away some really silly goals, like easy goals, you know.
Cool. I don't think I've asked you, how do you feel about the Felix signing? We think that's going to happen at any point now.
That's a good question. Like, I'm not a big fan of Joao Felix, and I can't lie. He's not my kind of player, really. But I mean, he's got talent, 100%. Now, the problem is the end product, right? We need, if he's going to sign, he's got to give us some end product. We need goals, we need assists, right? We need him to take chances. You know, it's not, I don't care about how many tricks a player can do or how well they shimmy or whatever. I want him to score goals and create goals. That's the bottom line, you know, and that's my concern with Felix, I guess. But, you know, if Chelsea sign him, I'm backing him 100% because he's a Chelsea player. And I feel like that's my job, to back the players who wear the shirt. And, you know, and I'll keep doing that. And if he proves me wrong, I'll be very glad, because that means Chelsea are doing well. Right? So, yeah, I mean, I don't think he starts in our first choice 11. I think Nito showed today that he's got something about him that we need in our first choice 11. Yeah, and obviously if we sign Osimhen or a striker, then they'll start. And then there's Palmer and Nkunku, I think, you know, would start. Certainly Palmer would. Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, for the money that it is, I think it's 34 to 38 million. It's not, and he's taken a wage cut as well, so I don't mind it. I'm not, like, completely against it.
And I get the impression there's a lot of performance-related add-ons in there as well. So, yeah. So, which I kind of like. I'll be honest, he's not a player I think we needed, but he's a player I wanted, because I've always liked him. I think he's never really settled at a club before, and I think he really did enjoy his time here. And I seem to remember after the first game, he was really happy, you know, because our fans sang a song about him, and he'd never kind of had that welcome before.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's right. He's willing to take a pay cut, you know, yeah. He's willing to choose us over Aston Villa during the Champions League. You know, then fair enough, you know, he clearly wants to be here, you know, and that's, and I like any player who wants to be here, that's already a positive thing with me. I only want players who want to be at Chelsea Football Club. And if they don't want to be here, they can go, they don't care who they are, right? So at least he wants to be here, he's taken a wage cut to come here, fair enough. Yeah, I hope he does well.
One thing we haven't spoken about is the Sterling situation. I presume everyone saw the... Yeah. I'm sure everyone saw the statement from his camp before the game.
Yeah, I don't think that helped, to be honest. We're going to get fans up to speak. So we've got some people requesting. We're going to bring them up, but we'll just briefly talk about Sterling. What were your thoughts on that statement, Rambles, and the timing of it, especially?
Yeah, I found the timing very strange. I thought at least wait till after the game. I mean, I think they're maybe trying to put pressure on. It sounded like he was expecting to be in the squad, but one thing we have seen consistently from these guys, they are ruthless, and they don't care whether you're an academy player. They don't care if it's a player they've signed. They don't care if it's a player who's been here for 7-8 years and won X amount of trophies. If they want a player gone, they're going to try and get them out at all costs. And Raheem Sterling, like Gallagher, Chalobah, Lukaku, Kepa, Kasadai, Broyar, they want gone. And they're just going to do it, everything in their powers to get them out the door.
Yeah, and I don't think he's done enough to deserve to be in our first choice 11. You know, he's a bench player at the moment, right?
I think for our highest earner, and, you know, he just isn't consistent. Yeah, and sadly, it's a similar situation with Chilwell. He's on, I think, 200 grand a week, and he just can't stay fit, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ben Chilwell, and I think he's a great character and a leader, and he loves the club, you know, but he's a top professional, you know, he's being professional about the whole thing. I'm sure that they've had conversations with him behind the scenes about, you know, what the situation is. And he's been professional about it, and I respect that. You know, and you're right. I mean, I think, you know, he's injured. He's been injured a lot. He's not the same player that he was before the injury, sadly. If he was, I don't think he'd be going anywhere. But it's fair play to him. Cucurella's been brilliant this year, this calendar year. You've got to be fair to the guy. I wasn't a fan of Cucurella at all, but he's been excellent, honestly. And he had a great Euros. He was the best left-back at the Euros. He was pretty decent today, and fair play to him. But, you know, Chilwell, I wish him well wherever he goes. And he'll, you know, we'll always have Porto, and he was a big part of that. and he'll go down in Chelsea history because of that, and should get lots of respect for that. But Raheem Sterling, I think, like, he says he wants to, he did an interview the other day saying he wants to contribute to Chelsea and wants to help Chelsea, and then he releases that statement an hour before kickoff. And, you know, apparently he knew two days ago he was getting dropped. And so he's been preparing this for 2 days. I think that's unprofessional.
No,
that's cool. Do it after the game. Do it after the game. Or do it tomorrow or something like that, right? Don't do it an hour before kickoff. That isn't appropriate for me. I could just about get the statement, but it was the timing was just all wrong. If that's his attitude, then he probably needs to go, to be perfectly honest. I don't know how easy that will be, but yeah, 100%. So we're going to get people up. Okay, we've got a few people requesting. I'm going to bring up Mario first. Okay, Mario, welcome. Welcome back. I know you've been a speaker before. I always value your opinion. So what were your thoughts?
Well, hi, Mario. Hi. I'm going to be pretty pragmatic and then pick up on some points. First of all, I think Colwill and Fofana look like the centre-backs that we should retain. If we're looking to create some consistency at the football club, that is the only combination that I saw out of the 11 starters today that I would start regularly. I liked Cucurella. I thought he had a good game. Then we've got choices that obviously on the right side of defence. I think Sanchez is good with his feet. We all know that Sanchez is good with his feet. I don't think being good or bad with your feet is the problem here. I think it's his decision making. There was a couple of times he simply gave the ball away when he shouldn't have done. And he should have certainly saved the second goal, but that's down to goalkeeping with your hands. But yeah, so, you know, I'm good with the ball at my feet, but you could question my decision making. So I think his decision making with the ball at his feet is not good. So I think we've got issues there. I think we've got massive issues in midfield. I watched the game on telly today and Gary Neville praised Lavia quite a lot. And a lot of you guys that have been on this call have praised Lavia quite a lot. I don't quite understand what he was doing today. I wasn't quite sure where he was playing or what he was doing. I'm sure he's a good footballer. But again, I wasn't quite sure what his role in that midfield was. That doesn't mean to say that I'm criticising him. He probably did have a good game, but I wasn't quite sure what his role was. Jackson, I'm sorry. I'm just tearing my hair out about the kids. The minute the goal went in, I could see it was offside. And the first thing I said was, what was he doing standing there? And the next thing that was said by the pundits was, he shouldn't have been stood there. And Daniel Sturridge had a right go at him at half-time. He was quite harsh about it. So I'm pulling my hair out about Jackson. So we don't have a centre-forward. So in summary, I'm not surprised by today's result. I don't think we laid a glove on them, if I'm honest. Yes, we had chances. I think to start talking about Anthony Taylor and not giving penalties and we deserved a draw is a bit far-fetched. We are where we are. It's a brand new team. We've lost against the best team, one of the best teams in the world, if not the best team in the world. And I think we will get better. But I still think there's an awful lot of issues and challenges that Maresca's got ahead of him. And what we don't want to be doing is chopping and changing. I didn't see a very effective Cole Palmer today. I thought Cole Palmer actually looked a little bit out of sorts. And I think he looked a little bit lost sometimes on that right side. And I don't think we involved him enough in the game. You know, we pushed him out to the right-hand side because of the team that Maresca played. So I could go on and on, but those are my thoughts on the game. I thought City controlled the game. I think we controlled the game defensively for a period in the second half. And yes, we could have equalised, but really, you know, I think City controlled the game and showed their experience. So we've got a ways to go. I think Dewsbury Hall coming on and Neto coming on were big pluses for me. I really, really thought they did well. And I can see them, you know, hitting the straps. And if they're given game time consistently, I can see them being an integral part of the team and adding value to whatever Maresca wants to do. And I could see them, you know, forming, you know, five or six regulars. I think Maresca's got to pick has got to pick a consistent side. He's got to pick a consistent spine. I don't know what Enzo gives us, to be frank. I thought today he was awful. I thought there were a couple of times when his touch was amateur. And he went down for, when he went down for that penalty in the first half, it was embarrassing. The ball came off his legs like he was a wall and he fell over. No penalty. No penalty. Yeah. He was just awful today. We've got issues up front, centre forward. How many times do we have to, and this isn't a rhetorical question, it's an open question to everybody. How many times do you have to talk about this centre forward malarkey? We need a centre forward. We don't have a centre forward. We're sitting here talking about Osimhen. We're sitting here talking about Tony. I don't know whether that'll happen or not, you know. And I think I'm afraid I'm going to bore you and come back to the same old issues that I spoke about a couple of times last season. I think the ownership have got it wrong. And we're now in our third season. I think we'll finish top seven, top eight this season. I think we may get top five if we put a string of results together. I can see weaker teams than us that finished the season strongly last year. You know, competing with us in that 7-8 position, but we need to put a stronger run together than those particular teams. So that's how I feel about the side at the moment. I think Reds has got a lot to do, and you know, I think Score, you said earlier on, we had a successful season last season. Yes, we did. I agree with you. I think we finished strongly. So why don't we listen to somebody like Pochettino? Why don't we just try and bend and be a little bit flexible so that the side develops? Here we are. I think City had us in their back pocket today. Don't think we particularly laid a glove on them. Don't think we deserve to draw. Don't think we deserve to win. I think we look like a team that's developing. I think we did all right. We will get better. But here we are again, starting at block one, square one. Here we go again. And I find it mystifying. I find it incredible. I.e. unbelievable, incredible, that we find ourselves in this position. I don't like the way the club is run. I don't like the football decisions that are made. I don't think that augurs well for us being successful quickly enough. And I've heard us on this particular call many, many times in the past say that we're going to come good. I actually believe we're going to come good, but how many managers are we going to have to get through where we start at square one, eventually come good? What's going to happen is we're going to come good with a coach that's coming along, going to come along at the right time. And it's going to have very little to do with a coach. It's going to have to do with a coach coming along at the right time and the things will click. That's why I believe that we will come good in the long term. I don't think we're going to become good in the long term because of one coach who's going to be given time to have a consistent strategy on the pitch. And you know, that reflects what I think about the way the football matters are run at the club at the moment, which is buy what you can, create an American style roster, and you know, sign your players up for 7 years. Look at the player squad you've got as an investment portfolio, so we can sell them on. And I don't think that will bring a success with one coach. I think at one point, I'll just repeat what I said, a coach will come along. The boys will hit the straps. They'll do well. That coach will get the credit. I don't think there's consistency or the consistency that we have in thought at the moment. I think just doesn't work. I don't think we're going to compete with the big boys this season at all. And we'll see. I think if Maresca has a poor run, I'll fear for him again, you know. So I'm positive about today. I thought some good stuff, but it's a new team, it's developing, and we've still got issues up front. Midfield, couldn't see a shape, couldn't see an identity, wasn't quite sure what we were trying to achieve.
Yeah, thanks for some good comments there, as ever, Mario. I really appreciate that. I agree with you on certainly that the first point you made about Levi Colwill and where they final. I thought it's absolutely spot on. I think they're the partnership we need to work on building, and I think he's going to do that. To be fair,
yeah.
I mean, overall they played pretty well today. Like, you know, obviously there might have been a couple of mistakes for the goals, maybe certainly for the second goal. But Overall, I thought they were pretty good. They made some big, I mean, like Wes made some really important tackles and interceptions. Leroy was pretty solid. Almost got himself injured, actually, defending Haaland in the second half.
Yeah.
That looks a good partnership. You're right. We need to persevere with that. Because we do, you're right. We need some consistency in partnerships, right? And in the spine of the team. Every top team needs a spine. And that's really important. We get that spine right. And that they play most of the games. And then you can have other players coming in around that. Also, definitely agree on, like, Pedro Nieto came on and I thought he looked excellent. He was running up defenders, he was beating defenders, you know, he looked a threat. You know, and I think, hopefully he starts next week against Wolves. Well, we've got a game on Thursday before that. We've got a Conference League game, which should be an easy win, to be perfectly honest. But, and again, Dewsbury Hall as well, I'm a fan of his. And he's played the Maresca system for a year, so he knows the system. And of course, he's got experience in the Premier League. He's an over 25 player, which is very rare. You know? But I'm glad we've signed some Premier League proven players. That is an important thing. Right? Nieto and Dewsbury Hall have experience playing in the Premier League. So there's not an adaption period that's needed as much. And you could see that when they came on, right? So, thanks. Some good comments. I really appreciate your views, Mario. Thanks for coming up. We're going to get Vince up. Thanks, Mario, for speaking. I'll move you now so that Vince can speak. Vince, what are your thoughts on the game?
I actually thought we didn't play that poorly despite the 2-0 loss. I thought that, I agree with a lot of what you guys said. One thing I don't get why Axel Di Sassi has just been completely ousted from the squad. I thought last season against Man City, he was the best player on the pitch by far in that 1-1 draw. I mean, City's what they equalized in like the 85th minute, something like that, late in the game, but. Yeah. I thought Di Sassi was the best player on the pitch and in that game, so I don't get why he's been completely almost scapegoated. I don't think he's an elite player, but I think he's at least, a squad player. And he wasn't even in the squad today. With Raheem Sterling, I agree. I think, it was odd timing, and obviously, when you have to focus for a big match, I don't think that was helpful. But at the same time, I do get where he's coming from. Like, he was promised a lot coming into the club, and we just keep signing players. I bet he thought he was maybe even going to start this game, and then he's not even, let alone in the squad, let alone being considered to be brought off the bench. So I get where he's coming from, and with the wages he's on, we should probably look to move him. But I don't see any club taking him unless it's like a Saudi club with money, coming out the wazoo. So I don't know. It's a tough situation with Sterling. And I agree, we definitely need a new number nine. We need a true striker. Mark Gu, I thought he was great in preseason, but he came on and he was kind of invisible, I'm not going to lie. And Jackson was just, you can't be offsides there on that rebound opportunity. You just can't be offsides there. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's one thing that really unites the fan base right now is that we need to sign a proven striker. Like, we have needed to sign a proven striker for quite a few years. And it's still not happened, right? And they need to do that. They absolutely need to do that. There's no excuse not to do that now. It's clear that we need that. And it would make a difference to us because we'd score goals. Like, even if we didn't play well, we might score a goal, right? And get a point or even nick a win when we're not playing well, right? That's the difference those kind of players make. Like, Haaland, how many chances did Haaland have today? Like one or two? And he scored his first chance, right? That's it. That's the difference, right?
I thought he was poor for that first goal. I really did. I thought Colwell was caught out there. I really thought Fofana was maybe the best, other than Cucurella, was probably the best defender we had on the pitch the whole game. I mean, he was everywhere. He took out Haaland on the halfway line that one time. And I thought he was doing a really good job of, like, working the ref, not getting he didn't even get booked that game. I don't know how he didn't get booked, but he was basically, playing super physical. And, I thought he was the intensity in the back line today. I was really impressed by Fofana. I thought he was incredible, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he looked a bit rusty in preseason, but that's understandable. He's not played for a year, right? Today, he was more like the Wesley Fofana that we know, right? And obviously he's young, but he's quite experienced, you know, and he's a strong character. And he was good today. He made some really important tackles, really important blocks. That interception in the penalty area second half was unbelievable. I thought he was excellent today. And he's a perfect guy for Levi Colwill to play with, really. And, you know, I mean, we saw a bit of what Levi can do. And yeah, you're right. He did probably make a little mistake for their first goal, but overall, he looked a lot better than he has done, certainly in pre-season. I think the fitness is coming, the sharpness is coming. I think, you know, Maresca's been experimenting in pre-season. Today, it wasn't so much experimenting. It was, you know, properly set up for a game. And those two definitely looked good. We weren't conceding chance after chance after chance all game. You know, we probably didn't concede as many chances as we did when we drew last year at Stamford Bridge. Actually,
I looked it up. Man City had 31 shots in that game, in that 1-1 draw. 31 shots. That just shows you how good Petrovic was in that game. I mean,
yeah. I mean, Disasi, I'm a big fan of Disasi. I think he's been injured.
He was in a World Cup final playing for France. I mean, I don't think this guy's a bad footballer. You know?
And Enzo Maresca apparently put him in the leadership group as well. So he clearly values him. I think he's just been injured. That's why he wasn't involved.
Yeah, he has an injury.
Yeah, he'll be involved eventually, you know. But although I would still say Wesley Fofana and Levi Colwill should be the first choice centre backs. But yeah, but we're playing two games a week this season. You know, we could play for 80 games a season. We're going to need depth, and we're going to have midweek games almost all season. We've got our first midweek game this week, you know, with the Conference League.
It bothered me, Maresca putting in Renato Vega with like 8 minutes to go. Like, we don't need, like, Cucurella is obviously the better player. Like, what are we doing now? Like, are you just doing it just to give the guy Premier League minutes? Like, but we need to win the game. It was 1-0 at that point.
I think Cucurella was slightly injured. I think they called to come off. That's why he was taken off. That's what it looked like anyway. I mean, I'm happy with Cucurella now. I didn't rate him at all, but he's proved me wrong. And fair play to the guy, you know.
He's really stepped up, you know, the last 4, 5, 6 months. He's really come into his own. He was brilliant in the Euros as well.
He was the best left back at the Euros, 100%. And he suits the system that Enzo wants to play. You know, he can invert and stuff, and, you know, he can also come central in terms of left centre back. So, yeah, he's absolutely 100%.
It just goes to show you how quickly things can change. You know, one minute you can be totally out of favour. The whole fan base are against you, think you should be sold. Then 3 months later, everyone's saying, you know, you've got to be our first choice left back. It's time X, Y, and Z player has moved on. So things can change very, very quickly.
I mean, who would have said a year ago that Chilwell would be moved on for Cucurella, right? Last year, we were trying to sell Cucurella. Right, we were trying to just fob him off to whatever club we could get him to. He's first choice left back. So, that's how football can change. I mean, what are your thoughts on what Vince said, Rambles, on the centre backs?
I thought the centre backs overall had a really good game. I think we've got to be realistic with Fofana. He's coming back after a very long time out. So he is going to probably need a month or a bit longer to kind of get up to match speed. And it is going to take time for him to build an understanding with Colwill. And that's going to take time, you know. Both are only young defenders. I think people forget Colwill's only 21.
Yeah, Levi Colwill's, he's 20, 21?
Yeah, he is 21.
Yeah, so he's going to get a lot better. Like, I mean, Levi Colwill's one of the, you know, most talented young centre-backs in Europe. Last year we had Man City and Liverpool both wanting him, you know.
Yeah, but that tells you a lot.
So, you know, Liverpool would take him now if they could, but he's not for sale at any price.
I think if you look at Arsenal, I can remember when Saliba first came to the club, you know, there was a while where it was looking like he was possibly going to be leaving the club because it didn't look like he was in Arteta's plans. But he finally got his chance, and it took a bit of time with the Gabriel relationship. But now most people would probably say they're the best pairing in the Premier League, arguably world football. And, you know, that hasn't happened overnight. So I do think we just need to be a little bit patient with Fofana and Colwell. There may be a few bumps in the road, but as long as we just give them time, I think they can develop into a top partnership.
And Madueke, for that matter, if they better not give up on him. Like, you could tell he has the ability to beat pretty much anyone in the world 1v1 when he's on his game. And he can dribble by guys. And he's also, what, 20, 21? So, I mean, I don't care what the fee is for him. I don't think there's any circumstance where you should be looking to move him on.
I really like Madueke, and he's got a very good attitude as well. I know people question, you know, there was the penalty incident, but to me, he just seems to be like a good character, and he wants to improve. I like him a lot.
And I think he's the most direct winger we have, like, running at defenders. Like, he's always, like, yeah, sometimes the end product isn't there and he gets it taken off him, but at least he's always making runs with the ball into the box. And sometimes we get a little pragmatic and we try to pass it around and look for the perfect, you know, opportunity, when he's one of the few guys we have in the squad that is actually willing to run at a defender, try to create something. You know, Palmer does it, but we didn't see it today, but he also does it as well. But, you know, Madueke, I just like the directness that he has towards goal.
I'm a big fan of him.
I think one good thing we've got now in attack is we've got a lot of good options and a lot of versatility. So Palmer could play on the right, but he can also play centrally, and you could bring him Madueke to the right. You've got Neto who can play left and right. Then you've got Nkunku who can play just behind the striker, or he could even play as a false nine or off the left. So we do have a lot of versatile players who can play in several positions.
And I guess Mudrik is just, like, not really in the plans for this season, or he's just going to be a Conference League player? Like, he's fallen that far from grace?
He's had a very tough start, Mudrik. He just hasn't really kicked on. But, again, like Madueke, I like his attitude. I think he's got the right attitude. And I think if he can produce in the Conference League, then maybe he can win Maresca's trust, and he can get a few league starts, and then maybe he can kick on from there. Because I still believe there's a player there, but for whatever reason, he just hasn't... We've seen glimpses, but he just hasn't been able to show it consistently.
Yeah, Madueke. I love his attitude. I love that he wants to succeed. It's clear that he wants to succeed, but I don't think that's going to work out in the end, to be honest.
I mean, personally, if it was up to me, obviously we've got Kendry Pyers and Estevao joining next summer. I would possibly look at sending him on a year or two loan, because I really do believe there's a player there. I would like him to maybe go the route that Salah did, maybe go to a Roma or a Fiorentina, a couple of seasons where he's starting week in, week out, and he can just develop his game, grow in confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him go to the Bundesliga. I think
the Bundesliga would be a very good league as well.
On a loan, you know, and get him playing every week, you know, a league where he can express himself, where he can play every week. I think that'd be good for his confidence, good for his development, and either we can either keep him after that or sell him, depending on what.
Because I think sometimes that's what a player needs. A player just needs to go to a club where they get the manager's confidence right.
Yeah, because I know that he works hard in training and he really wants to succeed. So, you know, you want someone like that to do well. But I got cut off for some reason. But so what was been said about Nonny? I'm a big fan of Nonny Madueke. I think he had a good pre-season. I'm surprised he didn't come on today, actually, because I think if Picarella hadn't got injured, he might have come on for Palmer, because Palmer was tired, and, you know, Palmer's barely had a pre-season. He's not had many minutes, so he didn't look quite himself, you know, in the second half. But that's understandable. You know, I think we've got to give him a break. I mean, he won't play on Thursday, I don't think. You're playing Nolly and Mudrik on Thursday, I suspect, because it's weaker opposition. But yeah, I'd hope we keep Nonny. You know, if we're going to get rid of wingers, it would be Sterling and Mudrik, to be honest. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
it's just crazy the amount of players that you know, like, cause if you're Madueke, think about it. Next year you have Kendry Páez, Estevão Willian, Mudryk, Palmer. They just brought in Neto. They might bring in João Félix, who's another attacking player. He can play, you know, a second striker or on the wing. It's just like, that's like seven players right there. So it's like, as good as he is, like, not even Man City has the depth of options that we have on the wing. So that's what makes it so, like, disheartening for a young player like that to want to stay at the club.
I think, like, next summer, you know, we'll have Palmer, we'll have Nkunku, we'll have Felix, we'll have Estevao, we'll have Páez, and then maybe one more of the ones that are let, like, then two of, I think two out of Sterling, Mudryk and Nonny will go. Permanently. So because otherwise
2 weeks to do it. I don't know. It's
well, I mean next summer, not this summer. Not now. I mean,
But like, my worry is, like, okay, let's say you know, your starters are Palmer and Nkunku and Neto, primarily in the Premier League on the wing. And then you're bringing Mudryk and Nani off the bench. Nani might only have 3-4 goal involvements if he's only playing, you know, 3-4 starts in the first half of the season. So I just think that tanks his value when you're not playing guys and they're not even getting opportunities.
When we've got the Conference League, and I think Nani will definitely play in that, and he'll do well in that because with respect to that competition, the level of opposition is not that high, and we shouldn't have to play our first choice team to get past the group stages of that. You know, so. You know, we shouldn't even have to play our first choice 11 on Thursday, to be perfectly honest. I don't think we will. So thanks, Vince. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming up and contributing. We're coming to the end of the show now. We've been going for about an hour. It's been a good start. I mean, it's not been a good start to the season in terms of the result, but, another good show. Thanks, Vince. Thanks. Louis, thanks to everyone who's spoken today. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Rambles. Again, it's always good to talk to you. What are your final thoughts on today? Rambles? You disappeared.
Yeah, I think you're always disappointed to lose the first game, but I think there were some positives. And I'd like to think, you know, in the coming weeks, we will see the players get more used to the system, and we will be players like Palmer, Cucurella, they'll be more up to match fitness. Then I think hopefully we'll see Neto starting in the coming games, and hopefully we'll see that number nine we're all crying out for. And I think once that number nine comes in, I think that would just make such a big difference, because I think that striker will score the opportunity that Jackson did, but he would be onside.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the point. You know, we just need that top class striker who's going to take most of his chances, right? Who's going to win games for us when we're not playing well, or draw games for us when we're not playing well, right? And that's what we need, and that's got to be the focus for me the rest of the window, is getting that through the door. There's a lot of positive signs today. I'm not worried. I think there's enough positive signs there that we will keep improving, and that we will win games and score goals. And we just got to keep backing the team, backing the manager, and just hope that you know, we can start putting some results together now, because we need to get winning. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for being part of this. And we'll be back for the Conference League game midweek. Join us then. So thanks everyone, and up the Blues.